Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we begin in verse 8. And in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Two things I want to look at tonight. First, I want to look at what did the shepherds see and hear that wondrous night so long ago? And what did the shepherds do in response to what they saw and heard? So first, let's look at what did the shepherds see and hear that wondrous night so long ago? Look at verse 9. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." The first thing we need to see is that it was by God's grace that the angels knew that the Christ child had been born. We need to see that it was by God's sovereign purpose and plan that these shepherds would be told that the Christ child was born. And when the angel came to speak to them, we need to see that the glory of the Lord shone around them. In other words, this was not just an angel on his own errand, but this angel was sent by the sovereign hand of God to declare to these shepherds what was taking place at that moment in Bethlehem. And they were filled with fear. In other words, in the presence of God, so much thinking goes on today that God is just our buddy, our friend. He's just like us. And yet when this angel spoke with the authority of God, in the place of God, these shepherds were filled with fear. Look at verse 10. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people.'" In other words, as this angel spoke, they rightly had a fear. They rightly were in fear and awe of the sovereign glory of God. And that the angel had come not to bring wrath, not to bring judgment, but to bring good news. And so as the angel spoke to these shepherds, he calmed their heart, not because they were wrongly in fear of God's holiness, but because they had come to bring good news and not wrath. And at the end of verse 10, the angel says this will be for all people, not meaning that every single person would be saved, but that it wasn't for the Jews only, that this Savior was to be for all nations, for every people group, every tongue, every tribe around the world. This was the Savior, and he is the only Savior. He's the only way, the only truth, and the only way to the Father. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. In other words, this angel was giving these shepherds good news, and it wasn't just the fact that a baby had been born. It's certainly right for us to celebrate life. It's certainly right for us to celebrate the birth of any child. But this wasn't any child. This was the long-awaited Messiah. This was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this was the Savior of the world. And it's clear from the angel's message of good news that Christ is the Lord. So much today is wrestled that everybody wants to have Jesus as Savior, but not Jesus as Lord. You can't separate God's sovereign rule from His gracious hand. In other words, when Jesus came, even at the moment of His birth, He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And even at the moment of His birth, He upheld the universe by the word of His power. In other words, when we look at this manger and we see them all over town commons, all over different places this time of year, the scene with the shepherds and the child in the manger. But we shouldn't worship as if the baby is something special. We should worship because He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, when we look at that small child, when we look at that helpless child that needed to be held, that needed to be nursed, that needed to be cared for, at the same time, He ruled the world. In other words, we don't want to take some story and let Hallmark dictate how we look at the scene of that night. But we want to take Scripture and see that the Father sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into the world to be the Savior of the world. From the moment of the conception in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit, that was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He ruled and reigned even in the womb, as we see and read the Gospels when John leaped in his mother's womb. In other words, when we look at this small child, we must see that He is God. We don't worship little babies. We worship God. And the sovereign King of the universe humbled Himself, taking on human flesh. And He dwelt among us. We must be in awe at this act of divine grace, this act of divine mercy, and we must see that this is good news. Look at verse 12. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The angel doesn't say you'll go to Bethlehem and you'll see a gold throne and you'll see all the thrills of the world around this child. The sign that was given to the shepherds was a sign of a lowly birth, a sign of a humble beginning, a sign of an amazing act of grace by God. That not only was He willing to come and dwell with man, that He came in the lowliest of states. There wasn't a room filled with all the comforts that we have when our wives give birth. It was a stable filled with animals. A manger is the trough that the animals hay when food was placed into. In other words, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was placed where animals eat. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords humbled Himself and came in the lowly estate. And yet this was the will of God. We don't want to read the gospel story and say, well, God wanted Him to be born in a fancy inn, but nobody would let Him in. God wanted Him to be born in a castle, but Joseph didn't know where to go. These angels are clear. The sign that will be given to you is that the Christ child will be wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. Stunning that God would do this to save His people. Look at verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. The Bible teaches us that it is impossible for man to please God apart from being in Christ by faith. It's impossible for fallen man to be pleasing in God's eyes except for the work that Jesus came and did. It's amazing that Jesus came in such a lowly state and yet He accomplished sovereign will. In other words, this child that was helpless physically, that Mary had to care for and protect and Joseph had to provide for, He was coming to accomplish the sovereign will of the Father. Jesus said he came not to do his own will, but came to do the will of the Father. And he did it perfectly, and he did it completely. And it was the Father's good and perfect will that he be born in such a lowly means. In other words, Mary was carrying Jesus in her womb, and God sovereignly chose to have Mary bear the Christ child in a barn or in a cave. It should stun us. Should stun us that the sovereign God so desired for this to be a lowly estate that Jesus came in, to prove that it was his design, his purpose, and his plan. And as the angel announced this glorious plan, a multitude of angels surrounded in the sky, declaring the glory of God. Can you imagine being a shepherd at this time? At a time when there aren't streetlights. At a time when night came. There may have been a lowly fire. There may have been some small lights of flicker of flames. But these shepherds were out in the field with their sheep, tending their sheep. They were alone. They were in the dark. And yet when this angel brings this glorious message, the glory of God shone around the angel and around the shepherds. In other words, even in this declaration of the Christ child, we see the declaration that Jesus is the light of the world. In other words, when the good news of Jesus Christ is declared, we are sharing the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And as this angel declared to these shepherds this great and glorious news, he also declared the narrowness, the singularity of the gospel story. It is a single Savior, not multiple Saviors, not many Saviors. There is one Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we are in Him by faith, if we believe and trust in Him, then the favor of God rests upon us. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to bring peace between God and man. In other words, the wrath of God hangs over the world. And into the world comes the eternal light and glory of the Son. The second thing we want to see tonight is, what did the shepherds do in response to what they saw and heard? Look at verse 15. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Right off the bat, we need to see the end of the verse. They didn't look at an angel bringing a message from an angel. They looked at the angel rightly, that the angel was bringing a message from the Lord. But they also looked at God's sovereign hand, and they said, "which the Lord has made known to us." In other words, they didn't figure it out. They didn't achieve it by human efforts. God sovereignly made known to these shepherds the good news of Jesus Christ. The other thing in verse 15 we need to see is that they were obedient to the word of God. The Bible teaches that the mind set on the flesh is hostile to God's law, hostile to God's word. And matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the mind set on the flesh can't accomplish obedience. And yet, as this angel spoke the good news to them, God sovereignly worked in them obedience. God sovereignly worked in their hearts that after the message came this way, obedience flowed from them. In other words, the message came, they heard it, they saw the glory of God, they saw the heavens open, as it were, to see the glorious story of Jesus Christ, and their hearts beat within them, and they said, "Let us go to Bethlehem." It wasn't like, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good story, but we'll check it out in the morning. We'll check it out when it's easier to walk in the daylight. We'll check it out when we have time." No, they instantly had a desire to go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened by the sovereign hand of God. Look at verse 16. They didn't mosey. They didn't dally. Luke records for us, "and they went with haste." In other words, as the words of truth came to them, there was a desire to get to the truth as fast as they could. "And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger." And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. In other words, when God spoke to them, they automatically became heralds of this good news. In other words, this angel didn't come and tell these shepherds something glorious and the shepherds say, well, this is just for us. We'll just keep it to ourselves. No, they showed up at the manger. They showed up at this place filled with animals. And they looked at Mary and Joseph and said, let us tell you what has just happened. Let us tell you the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us tell you what the angel has told to us. Think about it. You have Mary having a vision and God speaking to her the will of God. And you have Joseph having a vision and God speaking to him the will of God. And yet they're just people like us. Think about it. Here's Mary, who Joseph has never known intimately, and yet she's pregnant. The world mocks. The world laughs. The world casts insults. And the Jewish community wanted to probably stone her. And yet Joseph keeps her as his wife, knowing from what God has told him that this is an act of God, not an act of sin. And yet doubt comes. Fear comes. And here come the shepherds. Think about it. You're Joseph. You want the best for your wife. You want your best for your child. Here you are running around town and trying to find a place so she can have her baby in warmth and comfort. And yet he fails. And yet they're in an animal stall, surrounded with animals, surrounded by the smell of animals, outside in the cold, outside in the elements. And you almost have to ponder, was Joseph doubting? Was Joseph thinking to himself, if this was of God, where's God? Where's God? Was Mary doubting after this hard labor? Where's God? Where's God? And here come the shepherds preaching good news. And Luke tells us that Mary heard these things and pondered them and hid them in her heart. In other words, Mary, according to Scripture, believed God and worshiped God, that God had chosen her to carry the Christ child. And yet as these lowly shepherds preached, she again heard the words of God. She again heard the truth of God's word. She heard again the beauty that her son was not an ordinary child, but he was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the long-awaited Messiah. As Luke recorded for us, as we read earlier, this was the city of David. This was the lineage of the King of Israel. From a physical perspective, throughout the Gospels, we have the Israelites many times being confused, wanted Jesus to be on an earthly throne and rule an earthly land and get rid of the Romans, get rid of all those Gentiles out of their land. And yet Jesus didn't come to be an earthly king. He already was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It would be a demotion for him to be an earthly king. He is the sovereign King of the universe. He came to rule. He came to save. He came to do the Father's will. Look at verse 18. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for what they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. In other words, these shepherds, they not only were obedient to the word that the angel spoke to them, they not only overflowed with obedience to run with haste to the manger scene, they not only overflowed with obedience as they preached the good news, as they preached the gospel to Mary and Joseph, they went away glorifying God and praising God and worshiping God. In other words, these shepherds were the shepherds that were hired to raise the sheep for the Passover sacrifice. They were hired to raise physical sheep that would be slaughtered in the temple. And God graciously, graciously reveals himself to the lowly. He didn't reveal himself to the king. He didn't reveal himself to the rich. He revealed himself to the poor, lowly shepherds. And they went away worshiping God. Paul tells us in Corinthians that not many of you were wise when you were chosen. Not many of you were the rich and the powerful of the world. And here God displays that for all the world to see, that he sovereignly spoke to these shepherds who were raising many lambs that would be sacrificed for Passover, and revealed to them the only Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that was given to take away the sins of God's people. In other words, these shepherds saw for the first time the Messiah. They saw for the first time that God did not fail in his promises. That God, in the right and perfect time, at the fullness of time, Paul tells us, sent forth his Son. And so all the promises made to the sons of Adam, all those that came from Adam and Eve that were long awaiting for the seed of the woman, the seed of the woman was here. The seed of the woman had come. And the seed of the woman came to save God's people from their sin. But he came to do it in such a way that would cause heads to shake, hearts to not understand. The disciples, even after he completed the glorious work of the cross, didn't know what to make of it fully. And yet God sovereignly works in the hearts of these shepherds to breathe hope into their lives. My arm is not short. My word is not failing. But I am sovereignly ruling and reigning as I send my Son. And this child will live a perfect life. This child will die a perfect death. And this child will redeem my people. That night, God brought peace to the shepherds. God brought peace to Mary and Joseph. And God brought peace to all the church for all time in the sending of the perfect Savior, the perfect Son, the obedient child that came to do the Father's will. This child the shepherds worshipped in. This child Mary and Joseph worshipped in. And this child is why we celebrate Christmas. This child is why we celebrate the glorious gift of life that came in the gift of the sovereign Son of God. As he took on lowly flesh, as he took on this humble life that would lead him to Calvary, that would lead him to suffer and shame for the sake of his bride. This child is why we celebrate Christmas. This child is why we worship God, because this child came and saved our souls. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and give you praise. We thank you and give you praise that your word was made complete in your Son. That the seed of the woman that was promised so many years ago was brought to fulfillment on this cold, wintry night. Father, we praise you that you not only revealed your will to these shepherds, but we praise you, Father, that it was recorded and revealed to us. Father, we praise you that your sovereign will was accomplished. We praise you that you sovereignly worked in and through Christ to save your people. We praise you, Lord, that his death was sufficient for all our sins. We praise you that his perfect, righteous life is counted for our righteousness. We praise you that he will come again to get his people, and we will see him as he is. Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And we do this in the only name that men can be saved, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.